No, this is a tasting shape of future. Yea, he shall press thee down. Thou shalt be compressed as thou hast not been compressed before. But it is for the purpose that he might pour out a measure upon thee, measure upon measure. Yea, the prayer of thy heart shall be answered. Thou shalt be enlarged in thy ministry, in thy life, in the purposes that God has ordained upon thee. Thou shalt be shaken to accomplish this. Thou shalt be shaken, yea, not the only, but the earth shall be shaken. Thy foundations round about thee shall tremble, and thou shalt look unto thy God, for in looking thou shalt be saved. Know the Lord, if thou hast not known him in time past, known him in greater measure, yea, in a measure that thou shalt be able to communicate, though thou art shaken thyself. Thou shalt know the Lord thy God and stand firm in an hour when all else shall collapse around thee. Thou shalt get to know thy God. Yea, so shall be the preparations of thy heart.
And I think we all feel it. Again, let me urge you, be sure you're watching the Lord. Don't go to sleep spiritually. It's wonderful to have a chance to get out and relax, and that's good, and it should be, especially for the children, or if you have children. But be sure that you are alert in the Lord. And don't be surprised at anything that happens. Just keep your eyes on God. The Spirit is speaking, and I believe the prophecy. I believe Margaret was praying in the Spirit. Is God, I don't want to say any more than I know what I'm talking about, except that I know that these two spiritual utterances this morning, the prayer and the prophecy, are exactly what God is saying. And we need to not fear, but all the things that we've been hearing for the last 6.5 years are going to be brought out into the light, and God wants us to stand. Praise the Lord. And we can stand. We're not playing games. I know it seems so when you know, you hear the same thing in and out, the years go by, and nothing happens. But that's the goodness of God. That's just the goodness of God, that he prepares us, and there's no rush. You know, it's just wonderful. And if we just keep our eyes on the Lord, don't panic, no matter what happens, we'll be all right. I know the paper's been speaking a lot about earthquakes, and prophecy about shaking, and we need to just, no matter what happens, just steady on, and we say, oh yeah, that's what the Lord said, there's no problem. And you know, no matter what happens to you or your stuff, or to me or my stuff, God will supply our needs. We're not where God can't supply our needs. God can supply our needs. So we're not going to panic, we're not going to do anything, but we are listening to the Spirit. And saints, God does care. If you notice, both of them were saying the same thing. God is concerned about the people in the world. I mean, we say that and it becomes trite and it's a nice thing to say. But God is concerned. He's concerned. And some of you, God has talked to you, spoken to you in time past, and it just seems like, well, nothing's happening and I'm going backward instead of forward. Just hold steady. Just hold steady. God knows what he is doing. And one day the thing that God spoke to you in the secret place will come to pass. And like the prophecy said, we'll be shaken, but in the midst of the shaking, we will be able to hold forth the word. Because God has millions, hundreds of millions of people that have virtually nothing. Not only no doctrine, but no food. No spiritual food, no natural food. And we're so blessed. And God wants us to have the delight of sharing, particularly the spiritual. Because when you get the spiritual taken care of, the natural tends to take care of itself. The United States is blessed materially because it originally was blessed spiritually. Praise the Lord. You can go and feed all the people in the world, but until the spiritual problem is solved, the famines, the other things, are the consequences of sin. So the problem is to get to help when we can physically, but God wants the spiritual, the people to have the Word of God in. So I rejoice in the Lord. Praise God. Because I know what He's going to do is just so wonderful and just so out of sight. So don't worry about anything, but watch the Lord. Because in a time of danger, we should always watch. And like they're saying, you know, up north, the magma's rising to meet the water table. That was a bulletin we got from the Smithsonian Institute. They're not sure how close they are. If they come together, there's liable to be an explosion up in the Shasta area. That's right. If the magma coming up from beneath hits the water table, it'll generate so much steam there'll be no place for it to go. So they'll be meeting this month, the scientists, to see if they should upgrade the volcano warning. We've been constantly warned about this area, about earthquakes. And we praise the Lord because where there's no change, the Bible says, there's no fear of the Lord. Praise God. As long as we're bound in our habits, we can't shake ourselves loose. But when the Lord takes and shakes us loose, then, wow, we're free. And we can just worship the Lord and praise Him, and we're just go on to new ground. So it's all good for those who love the Lord and praise His wonderful name. Just along, there was a lady one time nearly got electrocuted from her washing machine, and she's standing in the water and touched it and nearly killed herself. She says, "Praise the Lord, I know God is still with me." Because she wasn't really serving the Lord. That helped her a lot. So she says, "Praise the Lord, God is still with me." So if it takes electrocution or whatever it takes, just as long as He's still with us. Amen? I'd like to have a short meeting of the members of the council. Amen. Let's turn to John 17, and we'll read verses 1 through 5 of John 17. I tell you, this revival has just begun. Just begun. Say, God takes forever. Well, that's true. But I think that once you get to moving, you wish you had more time to prepare. Say, Lord, don't push me around so fast. But when we're waiting, it seems like God's never going to move. And then when He moves, you say, Lord, awful fast. You're going awful fast. All right. John 17, verses 1 through 5, and here we go. When Jesus had spoken these words, are we here? Oh. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Now we want to continue with our thought as we've been talking about the relationship of the church to the saved nations. And it's very practical. I don't intend to talk about things that have no bearing on what we're doing. I think pretty soon we'll see where this is immensely practical and has to do with what we're doing. Well, that woke some up. Make your nerves crawl like E string on a violin. All right, now, Lord, help me to be clear. Some were not upset, but were wondering what we're talking about here. And we'll try to get it out right and plain. Now, we are not presenting a picture here that we have in our church some people who are saved, but they haven't made it into the church. And when we say church, we're not talking about a local body. We're talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And certainly that's my fault if anyone's confused. It's not their fault. It's my fault for not being clear. We are not saying that you need to wonder whether you are in the church or not. Let me tell you the practical import of what we are saying, as extremely practical. I know that some are having problems. I say, well, I wish you'd talk more about how I could beat my way through the wilderness than getting on the vision. But if we get the vision right, it helps us to beat our way through the wilderness. Now, what am I talking about when I say there's a difference between the saved nations and the church? Well, first of all, we know that when we get into the kingdom age in Isaiah and so on, as we've talked about previously, there are those who are saved on the earth, the nations, you see in Isaiah 2, and then there is on the earth the church, whose business it is to be a royal priesthood. Well, there's nothing new about that, man. The idea that the church is a royal priesthood is nothing new. The thing is, we have never thought about, you know, who we're being a priest over. Well, we're being a priest and king over the peoples of the earth. Well, then people have got a little concern and say, well, if there's a difference between the church and the saved, maybe I'm saved, but not in the church. So let's get at the point of what we're talking about. First of all, I've been using Acts 2:47 to show that the church and the saved are synonymous. In that it says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But that's not a good verse to use, because lo and behold, that is not what the text says in the Greek. And no other translation that I know of except the King James says that. It doesn't even say that in Nestle's Greek Testament. What it says in Acts 2:47 is that the Lord added to their number such as should be saved. So that was, so I throw that out for those that are following intently and will be teaching in the future. Don't use Acts 2:47, because the Greek does not say the Lord added to the church daily such should be saved. It says the Lord added to their number daily such as should be saved. And I think you'll find that in all of your other translations. But what does, first of all, here is the practical import of it. Are you ready for this? Tighten your spiritual seatbelts. Okay. All right. How many are ready? That's what I thought. Four people. All right. Now you're going to have to listen, because you go out and then there'll be more discussions about am I saved, am I not, am I in the church, am I not, maybe I'm in the church and not saved. That would be a problem there. All right. Here is the practical import. Yes, there is going on, and we'll show it in a minute as we have time, in the New Testament, two separate issues. And we've pointed this out before. One issue is that of salvation from wrath. And, of course, that happens through the precious blood of the Lord. But, you see, when you get into verses such as in 1 Corinthians 9, see, Paul there is talking about running a race. He's talking about, in fact, most of the New Testament verses are not talking about being saved, per se. They're talking about how to live the Christian life. You see, whereas basic salvation means, this settles everything, Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, all right? Period. It's nothing to do with a race. It's nothing to do with anything. If you believe and you're baptized, you're saved. So if you believe and you're baptized, you're saved, all right? You don't have to claw your way up Mount Zion with your fingernails. But then we get into other verses that obviously are talking about something else, whereas Paul says, I do not count that I have attained. Well, he's certainly not talking about attaining getting saved, because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, the Bible is always true, and you can hang your coat on it, you know. The Bible is true. If you believe and you've been baptized, you've been saved. But you see, Jesus talked about something else. He talked about a church. See? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And you are being built today. You're not being built to be saved. You're already saved through the merits of the Lord. Is that right or wrong? It doesn't say he that is built up into the image of Christ is saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. You see, there's two different things going on here. One is to get yourself saved. And you don't have to go and preach to a sinner after you quit smoking and doing all these other things, and maybe if you're a good boy, you can get saved. We don't preach that to sinners. We say, Christ died for your sins. Believe, repent, be baptized, and God will save you. Is that right? It's a simple message, and it's rock hard. We're not coming along and tampering with that thing and saying, yes, but. But what is true is that there is another issue, and that other issue is the forming of the kingdom of God. And that is why, now here's where it gets immensely practical. Here's where it gets practical. And this is why a vision is important. If you picture Christianity as being only a doctrine of forgiveness of sins and salvation, then once you are saved, there is no real pertinent challenge to your life. Oh, there are nice things that we say, like, I know I should be like Jesus. I don't have to, mind you, because once I'm saved, I never can be lost. But I know I should be like Jesus because I love him. That's noble. I have not a word to say against it. But I'll tell you this, when you get in the clutches, it won't work, because there's not enough strength there. Because when you get tempted to fornicate or take dope or leave your wife and marry somebody else or leave your husband or some other, and where it gets really an issue and you're really torn. How many know what I mean by saying torn by temptation? I mean, where it isn't a nice little thing, I think I will, I think I won't, but where every nerve in your body is crying out to do something you think is not God's will. Then if you've got a basic notion that what Christianity is that when you die, it's all when you die, Christianity is when you die, you're going to go up and enjoy the view and eat apple pie in heaven, and that once you've gone through the statements and have been saved and your sins are forgiven, no matter what you do, you can go out and fornicate, leave your wife, your husband, no matter what wretched mess you make out of your life, you're saved. So what's the difference? You might as well enjoy yourself, just don't lose your ticket. You know, wait, don't leave it in your pants when they go through the washer. That happens at our home. We get, you ought to see gum after it's been through the washer and dryer. It's a chemical marvel. Praise the Lord. You don't lose your ticket. If you conceive of Christianity as being the forgiveness of your sins to go to heaven, and that's what you conceive it to be, you're going to be a mediocre Christian, probably, unless you're a person of rare zeal who for conscience sake will do right. But most of us are not like that. We figure the odds. Hey? What we want to know is, brother, what is the bottom line? See? Quit the jazz. I know all about being good. But right now I don't feel like being good. Am I got it or don't I got it? See? And if you're basically convinced that Christianity is primarily a doctrine of forgiveness of sins, and that once you obtain that, you are saved from wrath, and that nothing can happen to you after that to basically impair that contract, then when you get tested hard enough, you're going to fold. You're like the average person. You'll figure, boy, I hate what I'm doing. God forgive me. But if you truly believe in your heart that I am throwing my entire inheritance into jeopardy by doing this thing, and I am going to be visited with stripes, and not only am I not going to rule and reign and be blessed of the Lord, but I'm jeopardizing my entire stance, you're going to think twice. So a vision gets these theoretical things that we talk about get immensely important, and they determine what you'll do in the clutch. They'll determine what you do in the clutch. Now, there are two basic issues under the new covenant that we're dealing with in this dispensation, if you want to call it, this church age. One is the salvation of people. Now, salvation means that you will not be destroyed in the day of wrath. That it says, really, it is used in the Bible in a larger sense to mean deliverance and a whole bunch of other things. I saw another one of these bumper stickers that says Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. You see the consciousness that people have? What they're really saying is Christians are not delivered, just forgiven. And the implication is I'm here and I'm not delivered and I'm still the same old person that I was, but don't judge me because I'm forgiven. It's a wretched business. That was true under the old covenant, but it's not at all true under the new. So that bumper sticker should be changed to read, God hasn't finished with me yet. See, I'm a Christian, have mercy on me. I'm new and I haven't been delivered as yet. But eventually God will make my way perfect. Now that it's a lot of letters, but if you're going to put anything on, you might as well use your whole bumper and say something right instead of leaving the people with the idea that the church is the same old thing that it was and just forgiven. So the difference between the Christian and the non-Christian, they both act identically the same way, but one is forgiven and one is not. And if that's the New Testament, I'll eat both versions. You know that it's not true. But the stuff we preach on our bumpers. So, you see, we're not talking about any academic issue. We're talking about the real basic thing that causes you to make a decision. And if you are not convinced that God is doing something besides just saving you and forgiving you, your life is going to be mediocre. And you basically are going to do what you want to do. You can talk from now till the cows come home, but you will not change. But if you are convinced that Christ, in addition to forgiving you, is building a church and you have an opportunity to be in that glorious vehicle and that you're going to lose it if you don't do what you're supposed to, you're going to think twice, because then the deal is have your fun now and pay later. See? So what makes the difference? All right, now in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we have a real good verse on salvation. Now listen carefully, because I don't want anyone in confusion, and if you are, I'll blame no one but myself. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Now this is what salvation is. This is the ticket. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That is what salvation is. Salvation from the day of wrath. In Romans 5:9, we have this verse. See, that's a waiting. That's a just, all you've got to do is just wait. All right, then in Romans 5:9. All right. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, that means counted in God's sight as perfectly acceptable to God. Righteousness in the biblical sense means accepted to God. It's not an arbitrary standard that someone set and God has to keep it, and we have to keep it. Justified means God says, you're okay with me. That's what it means in simple terms. And we were made acceptable to God by the blood of Jesus. And it says, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. All right, now that is salvation. That's what we mean. And of course, everyone is in the church is saved. As we point out from Isaiah, later on, there'll be saved nations. And of course, we see that in Matthew, where he has the sheep nations, he has the goat nations. He sends the sheep nations into life eternal on the basis of their giving a cup of cold water. God just says, that's it, the way you treated my brother over here. These nations go into judgment. So there are these nations who are saved. Okay? Now you have another issue. In you are that issue. Praise the Lord. All right. In Matthew... Let me find it. Matthew 16:18. Boy, that sounds good. Sounds like pretty everybody in the church has a Bible. Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You see, we're not talking there about being saved from wrath. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the creation of a vehicle. We know it's the wife of the Lamb, the temple of God, the New Jerusalem, whatever you want to call it, the body of Christ. He's talking and he says, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. You see, he's talking about building something in the earth, whereas salvation is merely a negative statement. Salvation is saying you won't be injured. You will not be injured in the day of wrath. See, it's a negative statement. It just says, this won't happen to you. But when you talk about the building of the church, you're talking about something positive. You're talking about what God is doing. And we, now, for 2,000 years, man has attempted to build the church of Christ. And that's why we have the denominations. He did not say, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, whatever you can see the rock to be, I think it's the fact that Christ is the Son of the living God, he is the Messiah. But however you regard this, he did not say, you and your brethren shall build a church. And you shall pass that down to other people, other men, and they shall build the church. But that's what's happened. You see, the early apostles went around with the revelation of God, and when they lifted up, their disciples began to structure it, and another generation began to structure it, and the great church, the great Catholic Church, Greek and Roman, that we know of, came into existence somewhere, I guess, around the 3rd or 4th century. Now, I may be off on that, but as I remember church history, as a recognizable entities, one in Constantinople and the other one in Rome, something of that order. And there you had man put his hands on the building of the church of God. And they said, well, our work is God's work, and God is giving us wisdom, and we're good men. Upon this rock, I. Now you say, well, he's up in heaven. No, he isn't. Listen. I know he's in heaven, but listen. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is here. Yes, he's in heaven, but he is also here. And Jesus is ready, as Bob was reading in that revelatory little booklet that he has, the vision that the man has, Jesus says, I'm going to show and men what I can do. And all of the church structure shall be shaken because it has been built by man. that has been built by well-intentioned men, and some of them marvels of character and fortitude and integrity. Nonetheless, they're wrong. Because no one, but no one, is to lay his hand on the church of the living God but Jesus Christ. See? We're not talking now. We've left the idea of salvation from wrath. And we're talking about the creation of a... Well, listen to what Scripture says about it. Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32. You see, we're not talking here about basic salvation. That's first. That's important. But we're talking about the creation of an entity drawn out from the peoples of the earth to be made according to the Lord's design. All right, so in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, we have this. Let me read another verse in Ephesians 5, just a minute. That's not the one. 5:27. That he might present it to himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. See how in one place Paul talks about salvation, and in another he talks about the creation of a perfect church. Now, where this is important is this. If all Christianity means is that we will be forgiven when we die, then we can pretty well pick up our options just as long as we don't lose our ticket. But if Christ, in addition to salvation, is creating a ruling body called the church, then that doesn't begin when you die. That begins today, and that's your issue. When you make choices that are not God's best, what you may not be jeopardizing at this point your basic salvation from wrath, but you very well could be jeopardizing your position in the church. See? That's why it's practical. It's not something. Christianity is not something that happens to you after you die. It's something that happens to you now, and everything in your life, every decision, every little nitty-gritty thing has immense practical value as a lesson in God's obedience and righteousness and holiness to be a part of this perfect church, or you are wasting your sorrows and they are a needless harassment because someday you're going to die and go to heaven and be saved. So the vision is tremendously important. Praise the Lord. You see the difference now when we say there's a difference between the church and being saved? We're not saying that you're in and the church and not saved, or you're saved and you're not in the church. That's not the issue. The issue is that two simultaneous works are going on today. One is the salvation of people who hear the word. The other one is the perfecting of the church. Praise the Lord. One is just a negative statement about what will happen after you die, and especially in the day of judgment, truly. But the second thing, which accounts for the teaching in this church, the primary teaching in this church, is that every day of your life, you have got to make the decision whether you want to pay the price that God wants to remain. It's a case of remaining in the church, because the overcomer is the member of the church. Because it's going to be a church without spot or wrinkle. Now, you don't have to get all discouraged and say, well, I can't get the victory over beer, I can't get the victory over lying or gossip or whatever. Don't get discouraged, because once God elects you, that election, you have to work at it to lose that. See? You look at the walls of the New Jerusalem and you see on the names of the gates, the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. And some of them were scoundrels. And their names are eternalized in the New Jerusalem. So I think we'll have time to just touch on election this morning. So don't get the feeling that if God calls you in the church, you're going to be let out lightly. What will happen is you'll be spanked, but good. He won't let you out lightly. You don't throw away your election lightly. Now, we do have to make sure of it. And we find in... 2 Peter 1:10. By the way, you know, I'm talking about the second verse that we read this morning together. You knew that, didn't you? About those that thou gavest me, I gave eternal life. All right, now, 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. All right. Now, let's just, we may not get into election this morning. That's actually what we were talking about, the verse that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This church business is by election. See, how many know 2 Timothy 1:9? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, that's talking about the church. See, that's talking about labor to make your calling. It's the church is called to be the wife of the Lamb. It's a little different issue than forgiveness and going to heaven. It has to do with the creation of the wife of the Lamb. That's what you jeopardize. It's your role in the church that you jeopardize when you don't labor and press into the Lord. It's not easy to lose, and God may make your life a perfect misery until you come His way. But I sure wouldn't fool around, because 1 Corinthians 3 says that some will have reward. It says others will be saved as by fire. But what does it mean to be saved as by fire? That could be a rough business. And I don't think anyone in here wants this. So don't get entangled with the world. All right, let's look a little bit using the tabernacle. For those in the tape, we have a diagram or a model of the tabernacle of the congregation. We'll show you where salvation, and then how the church fits in. Now, this is the bronze altar in the courtyard. Represents Calvary, the blood of the cross. That's where we are saved. Remember Romans 5:9, it says, through his blood we were saved from the wrath to come through faith in his blood. Alright, this is where a person coming in past the linen fence of righteousness and receives the blood of the cross. He comes in and says, I'm going to go God's way. Alright, he's saved. And then the laver in this context representing water baptism. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But now, we come to another issue, and that is the issue of the kingdom of God. Now, the church is the kingdom of God which shall rule the other nations of the world. And when most of Jesus' parables were about what? The kingdom. The kingdom, and he doesn't talk about your sins being forgiven. Because that's not the issue of the kingdom. That's more or less the entrance to the kingdom. The idea of the kingdom is something that is born in you and begins to convert you from the inside out. And where that is shown is here, is in the table of showbread, which means literally in the Hebrew, the bread of the presence. Now, it's the table of showbread that represents being born again. So, the moment you are born again, you pass into the church. You see? Now, how many remember what Jesus talked about in the third chapter of John? See? We know you are a teacher come from God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, what? He cannot see the kingdom. The issue, when we get everyone in this church, I guess, is saved, or what's happened? You receive the blood, you are baptized in water, and then you are born again, which brought you into the body of Christ. It brought you, made you a part of Messiah. That's where we don't have to worry and say, well, I'm saved, not in the church. You're in the church if you're born again, because the church is the kingdom of God, that which is born within us. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to Matthew 25. How were the sheep nations saved into eternal life. The cup of cold water. How do we enter into the kingdom of God? By being born again. Is that Bible? Yeah, and you see the Bible is quite strict on these things. It isn't all over the ballpark like we are. Well, they all mean the same thing. They don't all mean the same thing. And that's where our sloppy vision and our sloppy thinking has led to sloppy practice. Because we said, oh, just believe on Jesus and you've got the whole thing. You're a king and priest. That's nonsense. What does the Bible say is the qualification for ruling? Suffering. If we suffer, we shall rule. We say, oh, just get saved, this whole thing. No. It means what it says. Praise the Lord. How many believe we should go back to the Bible? It can't hurt. And it might help. Praise the Lord. So, that's what we're teaching. We're not teaching that we've got a nation full of people, some are saved and some are in the church. We're not talking about confusion or anything, or novelties or anything of the kind. What we're saying is that our vision of Christianity in America is limited to a great extent, a la the bumper stickers, to Christianity being a doctrine of forgiveness of sin so that we'll be saved in the day of wrath. And what we're saying is by far the most the great majority of verses from Matthew through Revelation have to do with the church. This church that God is building. Now, there's no need to build a church to go to heaven. There's no need to build a church to go to heaven. Why do you get a perfect church to go to heaven? That's not the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? To rule the nations of the world. We had a Friday night, we had an interesting experience. A fellow came in off the street, was wandering around, wandered into the church, and he knew the Bible wonderfully, and we were going along, and he raised some issue. And so I just started questioning him. He was saying, well, we're all going to heaven and everything. I don't remember the exact dialogue. There's men here that were there that would. But it boiled down to this. I said, all right. Oh, I was talking about the goal of the Christian life. I said, what's the goal of the Christian life? And he said something about to be with Jesus or something like that. And it got into the conversation, and I said, well, where are we going to be? And he said, well, I'm not sure where we're going to be or anything, but anyway, that's the goal, is to be with Jesus and to rule with Jesus. He said the goal is to rule with Jesus. This is what the stranger says off the street already. We'll rule with Jesus. I says, amen, brother. Now, where are we going to rule? And he says, well, I don't know. All over. I says, who are we going to rule? Well, he thought about that for a while. Then he says, well, I know. He says that during the millennium, we're going to rule on the earth with Jesus. I said, amen, brother. That's right. Now, see, he's just preaching my doctrine. He just never had thought of it. And I said, all right. Now, over whom? He says, over the unsaved. I said, we're going to rule over the unsaved. I said, I had to differ with you in that small detail. Would you agree with me that the people that you're ruling over are saved? Well, he says they haven't been saved yet. See, that's because by saved he meant all the other things that go with being in the church. And I said, well, it's not there. We're not going to rule over them in hell. So we could say that for all practical purposes we're ruling over the saved. I said, all right, how about after the millennium, where will we be ruling? Well, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And he said this four or five times. As I said, I agree 100%. Now, where are we going to be ruling? I think he ended up in the new heaven. And I said, but the Bible says that we're going to come down on a great and high mountain of the new earth and rule the saved nations of the earth. Yes, that's right. He said, that's right. Yeah, we're going to. And he just went through the whole thing. See, people that just never thought about it. It isn't anything different from what the church has believed historically. It's that we just haven't put it together. Who are you going to rule over? I'm going to rule over the other Christians. Well, maybe they want to rule over you. Well, it will take turns. They'll rule over me, and then I'll rule over them. Where? Up in heaven. Can't you imagine it? Huh? We're up in heaven, ruling over one another with crowns? Oy, 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 what a picture. It's not what the Bible teaches. So if God, in fact, is preparing us to rule the saved nations of the earth, don't you think it would be a good idea that God started training us now? What would it be like if God took the church as it is in our nation today, evacuated it so it wouldn't be injured by Antichrist, and then brought it back to reign over this world? Could you imagine? Well, how many have ever been in a big convention of preachers? Manny's been in big. How many? What goes on in the big convention of the preachers? Do you know? You have to find out who the wheels are. And brother, I want you to know those wheels roll in a certain way. No, it would never work, because if God gave one preacher New York to rule over and another one Rhode Island, it isn't going to work. No, because we're full. We show it now. And here you've got, and here's people speaking in tongues ruling over one nation, and people who do not speak in tongues ruling over another nation. How long do you think it would be before there was war between those two countries? Brother, the border is here. And we've got guards who do not speak in tongues here, guards who do speak in tongues here, and anybody that crosses from one to the other does so at the peril of his life. No, I don't think so. No, God is preparing us today. And the last thought was the one that we started out with, is the power of election. You see, when you're talking about saved, what does God say about being saved? God is willing that all men. Christ died, 1 John says he died for our sin, not for our sins only, but as of the church, but for the sins of the whole world. God is willing that all should be saved. But when you're talking about the church people, you're talking about an elect. You're talking about people whose names were called from the foundation of the world. Not called to be saved. You won't find that. We are called to be in this wonderful vehicle that is going to bring deliverance to the nations of the world, the church. We're elect into the church. The church who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, you see. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And look at it here in John 17. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus owns every person on the earth. Every person. Authority over all flesh. That he should give eternal life. To whom? To as many as you have given him. Well, is he saying here that of the peoples of the earth, that some are doomed to be lost because God has already decided they'll be lost, and they'll be lost in the foundation of the world? Is that what we're talking about here? Look at when we get down further where Jesus says, verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And then another place he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Verse 9. See, Jesus isn't even praying for the world, yet God so loved the world, and God is willing that all should be saved. I'm not praying for the world. I am praying for those whom you have given me. And what is he praying for? That they will be saved? Look, verse 21. This is the prayer, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That's the prayer, is that the church will be brought to perfection. And when it is, what does it say? John 17:21. That the world may believe. Does God care about the world? Yes. But the word church means call out. So God has come into the world and he has called out people to be saints. Saints means holy ones. And if God has called you out to be a saint, you have no other calling in life. You have no other calling in life. You say, well, I have an occupation. I'm this, I'm that. That's right. You do have an occupation, but that is not your calling. Once you are called to be a saint, what is the ratio of saints to the peoples of the world, do you think? Think of the 4.5 billion people. How many are true? See, to be a member of the body of Christ, you have to have God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized. Now, I'm not saying just if you speak in tongues, but if a person is a true Christian, I've met people that I've heard talk Christian things, but I knew they weren't saved. I knew they weren't a Christian because I could not feel the Spirit of God. If a person is a Christian, they have the Spirit of God and you can feel it. How many know that's true? Boy, if you can't, you can feel a Christian because you have to be a Christian by the Spirit. See, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus. You may have all the words, but you're not a member of the church. If you don't, and I'm not talking about talking in tongues now. I'm talking about the presence of God in your life. You've really been born again of the Spirit of God. That's what makes a member of the church. And God and all the ministries minister, Ephesians 4, they all minister, not to get everybody saved, but to build up the church into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because the church is the body of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. When God gets the church perfect, then he's going to save the world. It's all through Isaiah. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. So, if you are the elect of God, you have no other calling. You think of the people in the Bible. Now, Paul was a tent maker, wasn't he? Where would you be if Paul had paid a great deal of attention to his tent making? He had every right to go into business with someone else and make a lot of money off that tent making. Say, God is going to bless me. I'm going to think positively. We're going to have the biggest tent thing around here. Got all entangled in that tent business. Was tent making Paul's calling? Was ranching Abraham's calling? Was carpentry Jesus' calling? Was fishing Peter's calling? Well, whatever you're doing is not your calling. You say, I'm different from them. If you are, you're not in the body of Christ. Where do you find in the Bible that it says God has called one to be a fruit picker and another one to be a salesman and another one to be a plumber and another one to be a carpenter? Where do you find that God ever said that at one time? Never. God has called you, elected you for one reason, to be a holy one, to show forth his glory, to be a member of the supreme institution in the universe, the church, the body of the Messiah. Hallelujah. And so every day of your life you have one thing in mind. I am a saint. I am a holy one. My name was written before the foundation of the world. God called me out of the world at this time, not just to be saved so that I won't be destroyed by the wrath of God, but to be a vehicle for the glory of God. And the world today, the nations are dying. The church is talking about being evacuated. The church is not going to be evacuated. The church is going to be filled with the glory of God because the people haven't heard yet. And they're not going to hear it from angels and they're not going to hear it from Jesus. Jesus is dumb as far as the world is concerned. We are his mouth. And the angels are not given to preach the gospel. That angel in Revelation must be speaking about a messenger of God, because God uses people, not angels. And the world will never hear until they hear from us. But the Bible says they are going to hear. And the prophecies this morning said God is going to shake us. Thank God. Thank God. How would you like to meet Jesus? And here you've finally seen the man face to face. And he's not smiling. And of course, we've walked around in deception for so many years and thought the Lord was pleased with us and everything. And he wasn't, and we didn't know it. And we didn't pray hard enough to find out, because we were afraid to hear. And we're so sure God loves us. And we die and we go to meet Jesus. And, you know, joy, we've served the man all of our life, we thought, like the guy that wrote Placebo. And he's frowning. So, Lord, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. And the Lord lets us see a vision. Do you see those millions of people over there? They were supposed to hear the gospel from you, and you were busy with your business, and they never heard. And then what will your retirement mean then? Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord, we take very, very seriously the prophecies this morning, the prayers, the Word of God. We're not going to go out from this church today and say, oh, well, ho-hum, it's warm, and it'll be the same today and tomorrow. Lord, we care that there are people in China and people in India and people in Africa and people in the jungles who have never heard. We care, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, for ourselves, for this entire church, Lord, that you will do whatever is necessary to get the Word of God out to every human being on the earth. Jesus, do whatever is necessary. As far as we're concerned, Lord, we have turned our backs on business as usual, on life as it is. We are wanting to go, and I think ready to go, Lord, and waiting for your directions. Now, Lord, the next move is yours. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here who believes they're in your favor and are deceived, and, Lord, they're going to meet a frown and they don't know it and they don't want that, Lord, that you will, in your goodness and your love, show them beyond doubt. Lord, if we have to be half electrocuted off the washing machine, praise your name, Lord. Whatever you have to do to give us the upward look, Lord, do it. We'll love you forever, Lord. Just one thing I pray. Don't let us continue with business as usual and miss our hour, the day of our visitation. That's my only fear, Lord, is that we'll miss the day of our visitation. Lord, if you spread us to every nation under heaven and we all die a martyr's death, Lord, we'll dance and sing on the heights of Zion. God, just do us one thing. Don't let us miss the day of our visitation. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on such as we. Don't let us miss the day of our visitation. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Let's meditate now for the communion. I'll ask the ushers to bring the children in. I know the prophecy this morning was real. I've been feeling it in my bones. I don't know what's up. I do know God is moving, and we need to, not to fear, but to rejoice that God is going to take us at our word, and he's going to send us. That doesn't mean all of us will go, but some of us may have to work at it in other ways as God leads. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, as you said this morning, no matter what shaking comes, Lord, help us in the midst of the shaking to serve you. Help us never, Lord, to consider our own life, Lord, because we're upset, but to keep pressing the battle all the way through, Lord. All the way through. We've started, Lord. We've made a good start in this church, Lord. We've made a good start. Now help us to finish the job, Lord. Help us to finish the job. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, don't let any man's blood be required at our hands, Lord. Get us doing the thing, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Avaraka handalala vakahashiriya. Break every yoke among us, Lord. Everyone, Lord. Lord, we need to know our ministries, Lord, what we should be doing. Oh, God, just keep us on target. On target, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, lift from us, Lord, the American financial burden, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Laying up money by the thousands, Lord. You said that we work to give to him that needs, Lord.
Help us to use our money, Lord, the way you want us to. Free us, Lord, I pray, that we will not be bound by the fear of poverty. Free us, Lord, that we may be able to give as we should. Free us, Lord, from all that would in any way, any desire to live a normal life or to have our little home, Lord. Lord, give us a greater vision than our own little place, Lord, our own little church, our own state. Give us a worldwide vision, Lord, because we know that we'll never leave anything that you don't restore to us in this world and in the world to come, eternal life. We just will not, Lord, be bowed down with fear. Praise your name. Lift it from us, Lord. Lift it from us this day. Oh, yes, Lord. Make us happy people, Lord. Carefree in the things of God. Oh, yes, Lord, in this world. Just praising you, Lord, and not worried. Just carefree, Lord, so that we can serve you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Those that are waiting, Lord, encourage our hearts, Lord, with a fresh vision. Oh, hallelujah. While the children are coming in and we're praying, is there anyone that needs to make a fresh start with the Lord? Let's come up the front. You just need to make a fresh start. While we're having communion, we'll just... maybe you've been thinking about just being forgiven and going to heaven, and you're missing your whole life, your whole purpose and your calling. You want to come up and make a fresh start, have hands laid on you by the elders in prayer. I don't know, like that. Just want to come up to the front. Well, we don't have any time to fool around, people. God has been speaking marvelous things. And we don't have time to fool around. The things they is are changing. Things they is are changing. Anyone else? I just felt that. Come closer, would you, Rick, so there'd be room. I just felt in my heart that maybe some would like to come. If you're here, I don't care what age you are, and you're not really doing it like you should. When the rubber meets the road, you're still basically you and your worldly dreams. You want to make a fresh start. You want to be able to witness through the shaking that's coming. And it may be literal, maybe a literal shaking. You don't want to panic. Just come on, we'll lay hands on you. God will give you a spirit of courage. And you say, I'm going to serve Christ. I'm going to do the job. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the council members to come up with these that are standing here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Paul, when you're ready for the communion, just come up and we'll work around these people here. Praise the Lord. Maybe people will just step a little bit to your left. And that'll make room. Just a little bit to your left there, if you would. That's it. Make room for the communion. I want you to take communion up here with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Anybody else, if the Lord tells you you should be here, get yourself up here. If you're not really ready to stand and serve God and everything comes down around your ears and it scares you, the thought of it, and you're not, don't think you could serve God in the midst of it, you better get yourself up here and let's pray that God will give us strength. Praise the Lord. God hasn't called us to be nice little comfortable Americans, people. God has called us from the foundation of the world that we should show forth His glory. Hallelujah. Not so we should spend 70 years in a nice little comfortable situation, but so that we should be broken and be made bread for the nations, people. God wants to compress us and then just blow us out there in His own way. And that calling is on you if you're a Christian. That's what it means to be a Christian, a holy one,
of the Lord. A normal Christian life. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask others that want to come up and lay hands on these. We've got quite a crowd here. All right. Those kind of stand a little bit to your left, those that are facing me, and I'll ask the ushers to go ahead with the communion and just do the communion. They want these remaining here, just serve them standing here. And anyone else wants to come up in the meantime, and we'll just take the communion up here if you have that desire. Praise the Lord. Let's keep in a spirit of prayer. Maybe you should be up here. Huh? What are you going to do when it starts shaking? The scientists tell us this area is due for a big one. Does it scare you? What if your house comes down around your ears? Can you serve God? Huh? Come on now. No fear. We love the Lord. Amen? We love the Lord, and He can enable us to stand and preach the gospel when we can say, silver and gold have I none. And then we'll have something to give, won't we? They didn't have silver and gold. Boy, they sure had a lot to give. Huh? But the world was waiting for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bob was right on the theme this morning. God has an army of people. And you're in that army to go forth to the ends of the world. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. God wants you out of that thing, the money market. God wants you out of it. Making all this planning about money for your old age. It's not God. Now's the time. God wants you to write your poetry now, not when you're retired. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus, behold us this morning, Lord. Lord, entering into the fellowship of your body, the fellowship of your blood. Behold us this morning, Lord, those that have come up, Lord, to ascertain that they truly are marching in that army, Lord, and are not just drumming on the table as the troops march by. Lift from us, Lord, all that was smack of business as usual, the unchanged state, Lord, the conventional humdrum life. Deliver us, Lord. Do marvelous, strange, wonderful things in our lives, Lord. Exciting things that will cause us to see that God really is moving. It's not the same old business. Hallelujah. 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 Help us to realize, Lord, the hour has come. Praise your name. Lord, and you have wonderful things for us in this hour. Praise God. You haven't called us, Lord, to be tent makers or to be ranchers, Lord. You've called us to be holy ones, to liberate mankind, to bring the Word of God to the ends of the earth, to stand in the presence of God and minister in the fullness of the power of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To drink honey from the rock, Lord. Praise God, Lord, you've called us to high things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Avarakahasilia. Lord, we know it's the time. Now, Lord, cause the thing to happen in the people's lives. Wonderful things, Lord. Exciting things, new things. They can see, Lord, it's you. And not just people talking, Lord. It's really you. That you've really come. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Lord, give every young person in this church, everyone without exception, Lord, a higher vision. A vision of you, Lord. Not of America as it has been, Lord, but of America as it should be. And they themselves witnesses of God. Hallelujah. Living the most wonderful life on earth. Hallelujah. Married to Jesus first. Married to Jesus first. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah. Living the best life there is, the life lived in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Then everything they do then will be touched with glory. Praise your name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. How wonderful. How wonderful. Come and worship royal priesthood. Come and praise Him, holy nation. Worship Jesus, our Redeemer. precious King of glory, come and worship, royal priesthood, come and praise Him, holy nation, worship Jesus, our Redeemer. He is precious, King of glory.
All right, we're going to be taking the communion, and then I'm going to ask those that are up here, the elders, and those that want to come up and pray, to lay hands on these that have gathered up. And we'll just enter into a covenant one with another that we are going to walk in the Spirit of the Lord as we never have before, that we are dedicated to the evangelization of the entire world, hallelujah. And not only that, but to ministering to God's people, not just getting them saved alone, that too, but also building them up until they're trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that He may be glorified. And to this we dedicate ourselves, hallelujah, this morning, in the communion, to the building up with every nickel we have and every calorie of energy and every second of time. From this point on will be spent in building up the church, hallelujah, as Christ leads us. By His Spirit, we will be obedient. We will be obedient. We will not do it ourselves, Lord, but we will be obedient. We will wait upon You till we know what we're doing, Lord, and we will obey You, hallelujah. We will obey You, Lord, in the evangelizing of the world, Lord, and in the building up of the church. Blessed be Your name. And when He, for I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. Let's hold the bread of the covenant to the Lord. Praise His name. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. And Jesus, we remember Your body all over the earth. Some, Lord, that have never heard the word, the name of Jesus. Lord, and You have them scattered throughout all the nations of the earth. People whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. And Lord, as we take this together, it means that we are one with them. And help us not to fail them, Lord. Help us not to fail our brethren, but to suffer with them. And to be hungry with them, Lord. And to share with them all that we have. Shall we partake together? Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Your name, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. People, people, the body of the Lord. Oh, He's here this morning. He's here this morning. Other sheep He has which are not of this fold. And saints He would have us to share. Oh, He would have us to share. Praise His wonderful name. And He's ready to direct us. He's ready to order His troops. He's ready to send us out. If we're ready, He's ready. Hallelujah. Jesus is here this morning. It's His body worldwide, and we're covenanting with Him that whatever He says to us, we will do. We will do it, Lord, by Your grace. We will do it. We're not asking for a thing. We're just asking to know Your will. And the strength to do it, that's all, Lord. Praise Your name. We're dedicated this morning, Lord, to the building up of the body of Christ through the whole world. Praise Your name, Lord. Use us to that end, Lord, and then receive us to glory. Hallelujah. Let's hold up the cup before the Lord of our Lord's blood. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And Lord, this is Your blood, and we remember the scripture that says God has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Lord, and we think of those who are of black skin and brown skin, Lord, those who are of different race than we are, some hidden away in the jungles of the world, various peoples, Lord, in the north and south and from east to west. And Lord, we know that the blood that runs in our veins from Adam runs in their veins too. And Lord, we know that the blood that ran in your veins runs in our veins through the communion, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will use us, that it will run in the veins of others, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, through your blood, we covenant with you, Lord, that we no longer are ordinary people living an ordinary life, Lord. But we are the holy ones of God, called out from the foundation of the world to be kings and priests unto God, to overcome everything upon this rock, Lord. Build your church and make us overcomers, so that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against us, but we shall overcome, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb, through the word of our testimony, and through loving not our lives unto the death. And to this we covenant unto you this morning. Let it be written before thee, Lord, and hold us all to account. Hallelujah. That we may serve thee in truth and not in word only. Praise your name. Shall we partake together? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ's blood is in us, saints, and we live by that blood and by that body as he lives by the Father. And I'm going to ask now that those around to lay hands on those that are here that have come, not because they're not Christians, not because they're living the life, but because they want to make sure that God knows that they know what they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy ones, holy ones, holy ones. Saints, the elect of God, the sons of God, without blemish, God's children, God's ones that he has called out to be a part of the church, the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Lord, we remember this morning about your army, Lord. And we just pray that everyone that has come up this morning, Lord, will be a soldier in your army. We'll be called into the army of saints, the army of holy ones, to go forth under the latter rain, Lord, under the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant unto us this morning the same works that Jesus did and the greater works. Hallelujah. The same works and the greater works, the portion and the double portion, the former rain and the latter rain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The fullness of the power of God, the fullness of the power of God, the fullness of the power of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Live in us, fill us with the presence of Jesus. Surround us with the mighty angels of war. Hallelujah, give us a heart to fight, Lord. Give us a spirit of resistance, Lord. Take the world out of our hearts. Take the world out of our minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Make us a mighty army in thy sight, O Lord. Hallelujah, that we may march behind the blood-stained banner of Jesus. Hallelujah, in that parade, Lord, led by the prophets and holy men of old. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Make us soldiers in your army this day. Swear us into your army, Lord. Bind us by thy covenant of blood, Lord, that we may be thy holy ones, Lord, and do all thy will in the earth, Lord, and in the ages to come. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. God is here this morning, saints. Oh, his presence. Amen. It's his inheritance. It's his inheritance. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, let thy saints be lifted up, Lord, to march in the high places of Zion, Lord, before the very throne of God. Oh, Lord, pour out upon us the weapons of our warfare, O Lord. Hallelujah, that we may endure, Lord, and fight and overcome every aspect of the enemy, O Lord. Raise up an army unto thy glory, O God. Raise up an army unto thy glory, O Lord. Raise up an army unto thy glory, O God. Raise up an army unto thy glory, O God, of holy warriors, O Lord, of holy warriors going forth in the blood of the Lamb. Oh God, build your church, Jesus. Hallelujah, build your church, Jesus. Build it, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, mighty church without spot or wrinkle. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. One in Christ, one in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, let the revival rain cover every church, Lord, everywhere your people are. Bring out the blood stain, Lord. Make them a mighty army, oh God, the blood wash. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, you strong. 'Tis Christ's command for every power and dominion is given now into your hand. Kingdom, rise up, ye strong, possess the land. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. For the last few times when we finished, I've had a feeling of incomplete business. Been persistent and surprising. But this morning, I feel a little differently. I feel like the Lord is saying, this is what I want, and if you're ready for it, let's go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The kings of the earth have arrayed themselves against the Lord and against his Christ. Yea, they have said they shall bring peace on the earth, but it is a peace without righteousness nor holiness. It is a peace of self-serving, of aggrandizement, yea, and it shall not be so. For the Lord shall establish his kingdom through his people upon the earth, and it shall be a kingdom of peace and righteousness, and equity shall be established within the land.
Glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. We accept it and we believe it with all of our hearts, Jesus. Just make us a part of it, Lord. We lay down everything that this may be achieved. Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Marley, if he will, to conclude in prayer this morning.
Mighty God, you are a God of mercy and a God of grace. If it were not for your mercy and your grace, not one of us would be standing in this place.
Amen.
Lord, you are also a miracle-working God. Lord, I am right now in thy name commanding that change would have taken place in each life here this
morning. Amen. We agree, Lord.
Lord, that changes would have taken place, and it will be evident to each one that took the courage to come forth and stand here and say that they're not where they want to be, but they want more of you, Lord, and they want to walk on with you. Lord, you value integrity. You value courage. You value those that are willing to stand up and speak truth, Lord. Father, in thy name, we just command a change to take place.
Amen.
We believe it has taken place here this very day, Lord.
Amen.
Each one that has stood here will see the changes in their life, Lord, because Amen. You are the miracle working God. You are the one that brings Amen. Change, Lord. We bring it not in ourselves, O God, but you bring it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have not changed from the very beginning of time. But Amen. You continue to wrought tremendous miracles.
Amen.
Oh, how we appreciate you, Lord. How
yes,
we Lord. Appreciate the
yes,
miracle working power.
Yes, Lord.
How you can change your life, Lord, from the worst to the worst sinners, Lord, to one that is worthy to be called the bride of the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord.
How we love you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And thank you for what you've done in each of our lives and what you're going to continue to do, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we press toward the vision, Lord, that you've called us to. Let us not let that vision get dim in any way, Lord, because we know if we lose a vision, surely we shall perish. Lord, cause the vision that you have for each of us to burn, to burn, to burn within us, O God.
Grant it, Lord.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you are in total control of each life.
Yes,
Lord. We thank you now.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 God bless everyone. Service tonight at 6 o'clock. But